Trina Broussard. Trina, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. I'm doing wonderful.
And thank you. Thank you for being on here. But the funny thing is, the universe must be taking over or something taking over my board, because that's not what I queued up to play in the beginning. But I let it ride because that was beginner. That's how I queued up. I do. But we will talk about that later. So I'm going to change around. We'll talk about that later. So now, inside, my love, what made you tackle that, especially as your debut single? Because that's such a, you know, that was already a classic by Minnie Riperton. And then this new singer comes out, and not only did you tackle it, but you made it your own.
Right. What you said, what made me do that song?
Yeah.
It was actually at the time I was signed to So-So Def, which is Jermaine Dupri's label. And he had called me late one night and was like, hey, we want you to do this song. We're doing the soundtrack, and want to know if you'd be interested in doing Minnie Riperton's song. He said that the thing is, it's the last slot on the soundtrack, and we need to get on it immediately. And I was a little hesitant at the time. I was my roommate was Trey Lorenz, and Trey had just kind of got me into doing demos and writing and showing me how to like really sit down and write songs. And it was Trey who convinced me to go on and take a stab at it, because at first I said no. I was like, I can't. I don't know if I'm going to be able to hit those notes and stuff like Minnie Riperton. And it was Trey who kind of encouraged me to, you know, to take a stab at it, as I mentioned earlier, and kind of do it my own way. And with the help of him and a lot of the great musicians that came through and helped out, Lil John Roberts, another guy on bass by the name of Trey Gilbert, I think Israel Embry played on keys, and Kelvin Broughton and a few other guys came through and helped us. So with the help of with the convincing of Trey Lorenz and the helping of those musicians coming in the next day, and as I mentioned, we only had a small window to get it done. So Trey pretty much put the whole session together, and we went in the next morning about maybe between 10 and noon, and did it that day, and it had to be mixed a couple of days later. And the rest is history, thanks to Jermaine, Trey, and like I said, those other guys that came through and helped out. So with saying all of that, I grew up listening to Minnie Riperton. I absolutely adored Minnie Riperton. I still do. I come from a musically inclined family. My mother is a singer and piano player. My father is a guitar player. He charts music as well, charts strings and different parts for big bands. And you know, my mother and father always had great music in the house, and it just so happens that Minnie Riperton was definitely a part of the collection. That was somebody I gravitated towards listening to as a little girl.
Right.
So, it was an honor to do it. I was scared at first, but I'm glad that I did. And to say that was done back in 1997, and people still appreciate that, not only what Minnie Riperton does with me, but me as well, is an absolute honor. It's an honor.
Right, but see, that's what you made it your own, because like when I put up the flyer for the show, I had a couple people say, wait a minute, inside my love tree, just so I'm like, yeah. It wasn't only so that's how it like becomes yours as well. And
right.
As I said before, I'm glad you listened to Trey, because yeah, you did an excellent job like I said, as a new artist to come out and tackle an already classic. That was great.
I appreciate
and Jermaine clearly saw Jermaine clearly saw something in you to ask me to do that particular song. And I'm like, that's my favorite song from that movie.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And the thing is, I didn't make the movie. I was too late for the movie. I think they were already doing the syncing and all of that kind of stuff for the movie and the scoring and all of that. I didn't make it for that. But however, I did make it for the soundtrack. I was too late for the movie. But I did make the soundtrack.
Right.
By the time Jermaine, like, as I mentioned earlier, he said they were closing everything out as far as the soundtrack. So the movie was done already. I hate that I didn't make the movie, but I'm still glad that I'm a part of the, you know, the whole Love Jones movement, you know.
Yeah, because it's an excellent movie. That's one of my favorite movies, actually. So originally you are, for those who don't know, she is originally from Houston, Texas. So now, what made you go to Atlanta to pursue singing versus Los Angeles or New York?
It was two people. One, it was God bless his soul, may he rest in peace. It was Melvin Edmonds from After Seven, Babyface's brother. The After Seven at the time had just come out with their new album, and they had come through Houston for a promo stop, and they went to McDonald's. That's where the promo was with the radio station in Houston, Magic 102 FM. And one of my best friends, we found out that they were going to be around the corner from the house, and we loved them so much. We decided to go around the corner and meet them, and after conversing with Melvin and talking to Keith and Kevon as well, Melvin mentioned that, you know, if I wanted to do anything as far as getting into the industry, because I expressed to Melvin how I wanted to sing and do it professionally. He said, well, you know, you should come to Atlanta, because right now Atlanta is a black mecca for the music industry right now. And LaFace Records had just moved there. Jermaine Dupri was doing his thing. And not to mention the history that was there before, the great history that was there before, you know, like groups like Cameo, SOS Band, Millie Jackson being there.
Right.
And just, you know, just the rich culture, just the rich black culture in Atlanta, period. And another person that influenced me to go was a family friend, Ona Harris, I had been talking about going to Atlanta, and she called me one day, and she's I'm the youngest of six children, and she was very good friends with my older sisters in high school, and she called and said, you know, I think you need to get out of here. I think you need to get out of Houston and go and do your thing, and I think that kind of sealed the deal for me, and I haven't looked back since. You know, I went home back in 2014 for about a year, but then I've been here in Atlanta ever since, to be honest with you. I left in June of 1990, and it's just been it's been a great ride ever since.
That's awesome. So is Mel how you came to the same background like so many of like a lot of the artists that were based in Atlanta, like you got Bobby Brown, Pebbles, like a lot of the faces artists. Is that how you came to
background? It's an interesting story. I when I first got there, things weren't as rosy as I had expected them to be. I took a job at Macy's, Cumberland Mall, and I was living out in Austell, Georgia. And I had a friend who from Houston who had gone with me to move to Atlanta also. Her name is Natalie Burks, excellent singer, excellent piano player. And we both were going to pursue our dreams. And it just so happens that we started looking on the back. We were huge fans of Babyface and the whole LaFace production team. So anything we could get our hands on to kind of like read credits on records and CDs and stuff, we started looking at some of the studios where they recorded some of the Pebbles record, LaFace record, Babyface's stuff, as well as After Sevens. And it just so happens that a lot of the studios were in Atlanta. So what we did was got the phone book and looked it up, and decided to go by one of the studios one day just to press our luck to see if we could talk to anybody about working and doing some background vocals. And coincidentally, everybody was gone, and it just so happens this guy came to the door at the studio, and we told him we were some young girls from Houston trying to get into the industry and trying to sing. And we made it very clear that we were young and we weren't going to do tricks for trades. And this guy was really nice, and he actually let us in. He actually let us in, and he led us to the back, and there was a guy sitting in the back of the studio with a baby grand piano. His name was Dennis Austin. And as we started talking, I told him I was from Texas, and he mentioned that his son was in Texas, in Lubbock, Texas. And I was like, well, I have family in Lubbock, Texas. And I told him about my family. It just so happens that his son is my cousin's. He had a son with my cousin, so a distant cousin. Wow. So the rest was history, so he let us audition for him, and I got a call about a week later. Now, Natalie was a little homesick. Natalie wasn't used to being away from her parents and was kind of new for her. And Natalie left a week before I got the call to come and do Bobby Brown in Japan. And just so happens that I didn't mention that Dennis, the guy that we met in the back of the studio at the time, was Bobby Brown's musical director. So he invited me to come out and come sing background vocals with Bobby, and the rest has been history. So from there, sort of like a domino effect, because I guess Bobby had told Babyface and a couple other people about me, and I'm not really sure how it all turned out. But also, I'd had to audition for Pebbles, and it just so happens who auditioned me was Left Eye, Chili, and T-Boss. They were holding auditions for me, so that kind of got me in that situation, singing background vocals for Pebbles. I mean, it's just kind of like a domino effect. I mean, it's just being at the right place at the right time, and just, you know, just with God guiding me also. I just think it's kind of mind-blowing when I sit back and think about it.
Right, and it was really divine the way you just put that. And that's inspiration for somebody that's trying to pursue their dream. Like, you know, just hold on, don't give up. You know, just you got to stay in and stick with it.
Right.
Because I consistently have to tell myself that when I'm out.
I understand.
Right. Because you know I left Chicago. And that's when I came out to L.A.
You left the Windy City for palm trees. You left the Windy City for palm trees and sunshine. I understand. but for the most part, Chicago is beautiful. I like Chicago. It's absolutely beautiful. It's just cold in the wintertime.
Yeah, that's it. Because it's still Chicago, still my favorite city. But, yeah, like I said, in the wintertime, it's something else. It's a different beast. But you're also, you know, I don't know, a lot of people, you're also a songwriter, and you've written for others. Like, you wrote for The Queen, so tell me, here we go. Did you write that or did you co-write?
I co-wrote that with Trey Lorenz and myself, and Jermaine Dupri produced that. And, as I mentioned, it was Trey who got me into the studio thing and going out there doing demo work for Trey. I mean, going out there doing demo work for Jermaine. Trey, Lorenzo also signed to Social Def at the time, too. So Jermaine would have Trey come out and do a lot of his records, not only just demo stuff, but he would actually have Trey and I come out and record on some of the records. So I have to honestly say those were fun times, great times, and I'm a little kind of to the left. What did you just ask me?
Well,
we're talking shit, right? Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. Listen, I'm sitting out here. I told you where I was. So I'm out here in the car. So I'm kind of talking to you and watching the action go by at the same time. So I got a little thrown off a little bit. But I am here. I'm present. It was Trey who kind of helped me. It was Trey who kind of helped me compose songs and, you know, showed me how to, you know, subject matters and just kind of picking stuff out. And another thing, too, I have to give credit to being able to sit up under Rahsaan Patterson and watch him write. And there's another great singer-songwriter, Ray Valverde, who has come through and made me pay attention to songwriting a little bit more, and as well as my good friend, Mr. Carlos Ricketts. He's an excellent songwriter, too. So to say I do it alone would be an absolute lie. You know, I've been in good company. I've had the honor of being able to sit with great writers, learn from them, and also collaborate with them. So those are my main choices. Those are my teachers.
Okay. And so, you opened the door because we're going into Rahsaan, but I was going to ask you, how did that come about? Because you've been with Rahsaan for a minute. Now, how did that collaboration come about?
Well, I was in New York, as I mentioned earlier, I was signed to Social Def. I was in New York, and I was doing a photo shoot for the album, but we weren't quite done with it yet. And just so happens during the photo shoot, the makeup artist had a CD player, and she had a few CDs that she lined up, and she said, "Who do you want to listen to?" So there was a few choices. I think there was Maxwell and a few other people, and I had already had Maxwell's record, and I saw Rahsaan's CD, didn't know anything about him, and I said, "You know what, play that one. I'd rather listen to that one. Let me hear that one." It just so happens, I think about a second song, my manager was there with me at the time, and one of the A&R representatives, also deaf, I said, "Hey, can you guys get Jermaine on the phone and let him know that I would love to work with this guy? I would really like to work with him." So they called Jermaine, and Jermaine said, "You serious?" I said, "Yeah, I really want to work with him." So Jermaine said, "All right." And from there, Jermaine put me on the plane to L.A. probably, I think, about the next week, and met Rahsaan. We went in the studio, and the first song we did was Losing My Mind, along with Jamie Jazz, and Rahsaan and I have been rolling ever since.
That's my song, Losing My Mind. But because I didn't know you sang background until it was the first time I saw him live in concert, and y'all came to Chicago. I think he was at the Park West. I think is where it was. And so I looked at him.
Okay.
I said, "That's Trina Brisson." And so my friend looked at me. She was like, "Who?" I said, "The light skinned chick sitting right there." Little Trina Brisson. I got excited. I'm like, "I can't wait until he spotlights us. Until he spotlights us." And it was you, him, and Ra Ray. I think when you three together, I love that combination. I'm like, that is just the perfect blend. When you all
sing,
I'm big on harmony. I'm big on harmony. Y'all harmony is
right.
Just click.
Right.
Like
Thank you.
You and I share in common our favorite group. Well, I don't know if it's your absolute favorite group, but my absolute favorite group is the Emotion. I know we both love.
Oh yes, that's
my
absolute favorite group. I am the honorary fifth member of the Emotions. No, I'm joking. But I mean, I absolutely love the Emotions. I have loved them all of my life. I mean, that is my absolute favorite. When you're talking about blend and harmony, I mean, that's who I pretty much listen to, you know, coming up as far as just, it's almost like fruit punch. You put all of those different flavors together and you get a refreshing drink. And it's just been my long time. It's still my favorite group. Also, I mean, I still listen to those old records as if they were just released yesterday. And it never gets old. I mean, just beautiful blend and beautiful harmony from them, from the sisters.
Exactly. I can listen to How I Let Love Slip Away. I can listen to that all day, just on repeat.
Oof.
Just
listen,
let it go.
I understand. I understand. Yes, that whole album.
I said two things we share in common: the emotions, and we're both Libra. Yeah.
Oh wow! When's your birthday?
Mine, October 20th. I know you're the
8th. Okay, I am the 8th. Yes, I'm a Libra. Sometimes weird. Sometimes I stay to myself. But some people may take that as she's standoffish. But Libras just kind of like go into their own cocoon sometimes. I do. I don't think nobody else. I do. You know.
That's true. We
but we
that.
Love
yeah.
love and we love love and we love our people, period. You know?
Right. But and that's what I said one thing. I had told somebody that I was like, as a Libra, I love hard. When I do love somebody, I love hard. And I think all Libras do that.
Absolutely. 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 That's the truth. That is definitely the truth.
Yes. But yeah, but the emotions, I listen all day, all day. Now, who else did you grow up listening to? Who else do you, like, just gravitate to as an influence?
Earth, Wind & Fire is one of my second favorites. Lionel Richie, as weird as it is for some people, I love Lionel Richie. Is probably one of my favorite songwriters. Obviously, Stevie Wonder, Denise Williams, Jennifer Holliday.
Yeah.
Tremaine Hawkins, the Hawkins singers, Lynette Hawkins Stevens, of course the Clark sisters.
That goes awesome.
You know, Sister Sledge. I love Sister Sledge. You know, if people don't know, they should really listen to those harmonies too. Nobody has a tone like Kathy Sledge. You know what I'm saying? Nobody. It's beautiful. It's raspy. I grew up listening to Shalimar. You know, nobody has a tone like Jody Watley. I think that was a, when you listen to the production of that, you know, Leon Silvers. I mean, just.
I agree.
I could go on and on about people that I grew up listening to. I can't think of a lot off the top of my head, but I'm sure some more will come back to me, for sure.
But that's a great list right there. Everybody you named is.
Oh, yeah.
I love as well. And then adding Luther Vandross, and then, yeah.
Oh, Luther Vandross, of course. And how could I forget Aretha Franklin? I was telling some folks on stage when Aretha passed, I said this was really personal for me because my mother loves Aretha Franklin. I've been listening to Aretha Franklin since I came out the womb. Anything Aretha Franklin was in our house. If Aretha Franklin changed her hair to autumn sunrise, so did I older. That was my mother. If Aretha put on a hard top, so did my mother. I mean, if Aretha did an afro, so did my mother. For a long time, I thought Aretha was my mother's sister, the aunt that I just hadn't met yet. That was just always working for me to get a chance to see the family. I'm telling you, all things Aretha, anything Aretha Franklin was in our house for all my life.
Aretha is like the staple, and I think she's part of the soundtrack to everybody's life.
I mean, like that favorite aunt or just somebody that was close to the family. I told Trey Lorenz, we were talking the other day. I said, Trey, I still haven't really brought myself. I haven't been able to bring myself to kind of talk about Aretha. I said, I was just too close to my mother. That's too personal. That's just too close to my mother. But however, I still listen to her daily. But as far as just kind of accepting it, I mean, I have, but it's still kind of hard. It's real personal for me, very personal.
Right. I love Aretha. Now, one of my favorite Aretha songs is like, If I Lose This Dream. I did a tribute show to her on here, and
I played that.
Like one of my absolute favorite songs. It's not really well known,
I know it, and I love it. Now, did you play the original one? Or do you play the live one that she did in Paris?
Oh, I played the original.
I need
to listen to one of Paris. Okay.
I love the one. I love both of them, but the one in Paris, she sang that one too. She did a justice on that. She did a good singing on that one also.
Growing up for me, it was like Aretha, Patti, Chaka, and Emotions. Oh, I'm sorry, Natalie Cole.
I can't believe I left Patty and Shaka out too. I mean, like I said, we just one thing I said about my mother, she kept a and Gladys Knight was a staple in the house. Donnie Hathaway was a staple in the house. My father plays guitar, so of course George Benson. All things George Benson for my father. All George Benson.
Oh, yeah.
But Shaka was Rufus and Shaka Khan was constant. Natalie Cole, all things Natalie Cole was in the house. My mother even had like Bessie Smith, and she kept a lot of Sarah Vaughan, a lot of Ella. But what I can recall her mostly playing a lot was definitely Donny Hathaway and Aretha and Gladys. Those were her main three. And Ray Charles. Ray Charles.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, my mother was. It was all about Teddy Pendergrass.
He was there too. Teddy was there too.
Teddy, Aretha. I love Shaka Khan. Like I tell people, when I was a kid, they were in the Sesame Street. I was in the Soul Train. Shaka Khan was it for me. They were like even just like to this day, like no other. I love Shaka. But now, when you talk about these type of artists and yourself, what do you think happens in the industry? Like, it's definitely a change, a shift that has taken place.
Honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. I believe that evolution is inevitable. I don't have a problem with that. Things change. Different genres of music change. But here's what's missing. To me personally, what changed in the industry is musicianship. I feel like the ones that have an opportunity to be up front are scared to reveal their souls. And what I mean by that, I'm speaking of producers right now. I'm not even talking about artists and musicians, because the producers are the ones that could really bring the thing out of the artist. You know, some artists have
right.
it also where they're self-made and they're whole, like a Prince. You know, like a Rahsaan, and I'm not just saying that and being biased because Rahsaan is my friend. I'm saying a lot of these producers, which I know some dope producers, they are just pretty much going with the format. And it's like, just imagine if we didn't have a Maurice White. I recently read his autobiography about how Earth, Wind & Fire started. Just imagine if we didn't have a Maurice White. Maurice had the whole thing laid out. Maurice had a vision of a group with so many members, and everybody was looking at him like he was crazy. He was telling, I got this vision for this group, and everybody was like, yeah, okay. And you have to actually see it, be it, and do it. And I think what's happened with a lot of producers, in my opinion, especially the ones that are gifted to play a plethora of instruments but go to a drum machine, and I'm not taking anything from that, but it's like you're scared to bare your soul, and it's like, All of those artists that we mentioned, and those records that we love, and stuff that we talk about from back in the day, the Teddy Pendergrass, when you had the Leon, when you had the Huff and Gamble, you know, they bared their souls. You know what I'm saying? Like what was in them, they put it out.
Right.
And now it's just a bunch of, I don't know. I think we're missing melodies, we're missing bridges, we're missing life in the music. You know what I'm saying? We're missing good stories in the music.
Yeah.
We're missing journeys in the
exactly.
music. You know, it's no journey, it's no life. It's all the same. It feels the same. It's just, I don't know. It's just, and you
right,
know,
like
just,
you said, you're like the drum machine, yeah, because like it's not a lot. It's not a lot of live instrumentation anymore. And that's what breathes for me. That's what breathes
right.
life into music.
Right.
That,
and
that,
also
but,
another thing that happened too. Place the bands for pyro and dancers. You know, pyro techniques and dancers. You know what I'm saying? Like. Somehow the industry convinced us, as far as the black R&B acts, hey, you don't need a band. You know, you can go out here and sing to that and, you know, just stand here and sing to a tape and, you know, put some dances back in there to distract everybody and they won't miss the band. I mean, it's just, I don't know, just the song quality was taken out of it. I mean, we just kind of got lazy and we just kind of, like, complacent. We took the soul out of everything. There's no soul and there's no feeling in it. And the ones that do have it, the gatekeepers, are keeping them away from it, and I don't know. Somehow we just convinced the other side to let us say, okay, we can pretty much put out nothing and be nothing, and just we'll be okay with it.
Right. And see, that's what I love about. A lot. I don't need all the bells and whistles and the tricks and the fireworks.
Right.
Give me somebody that can just stand there and just flat foot sing with some background singers in a band, I'm happy. But
right.
everyone can have the dancers and it's cool, but give me vocals because I feel that, and I said this to other celebrity guests I'm having a show. I just, my opinion, if you have singer as your occupation, you ought to be able to do that. That's what you should be able to do.
Right.
But that's right. Well, I'm on the singing, but I'm on the singing part. You're on the production part, but yeah, I feel that's missing. But the singing part, when did we get to the point where you don't have to have a vocal talent anymore? It's just how you look. I'm like,
right.
What is
it's,
that about?
It's more. You, they want you to focus more on the, I guess the eye candy as opposed to the ear candy. I don't know.
Yeah, that
makes
sense. But I'm like, when did we get here and why are we here?
Right. I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of depressing a little bit when you think about it. However, you
that
do
is,
have some
yeah.
singers out there, but again, you have some singers out there, but again, the producer's job to produce the best. And I'm not talking about the airy, soft, strawberry shortcake, good ship lollipop and singing. I mean, everybody kind of sounds alike. Everything is airy and just real breathy and just 1, 2, 3 ABC.
Yeah.
And let's be clear, I don't want anybody to take this as if I'm dissing them or anything, but it's like, again, tone, melody. It's just kind of been left on the
right.
Way, kind of put to the side, you know.
Yeah,
and that's just my
honest
opinion about it.
And then Layla Hathaway, one time, it was funny, but it was the truth. And she said, and I always fix the quote from her, pitch has become an option. Ever since she said that always stuck with me. I said, it's funny, but it's the truth. Pitch has come up because some people don't know what pitch
right.
is. Like, well, pitch. And you can't just open your mouth and just sing any old
note.
I need to be on key.
Right.
Well, I love that. Yeah.
And we've been led to believe that it's okay.
Yes. It's perfectly fine. I found
that,
and then what they'll do, they'll fix in the studio. You can go on and twist the button. No.
Right.
I need for that live show, I need you to reproduce what you put on this. Well, I can't say wax anymore, but you put out there. Because you thought about when you earlier, you were mentioning you would look on the back of the album, the CD, and read liner notes. I missed that. I was a liner notes kid. I love reading liner notes to see who produced it, who sang what, who played what instrument. I missed that. But now I
right.
download it. Now you have to just download it. I don't get no liner notes.
Right.
I
think what's also missing, too, social media has kind of driven us further away from, you know, it used to be a time, you know, the record stores, you know, where you could go in the record store and
mm-hmm.
meet people and talk face-to-face and actually put your hands on the music and read the credits. And, you know, you could be struck just by passing by a particular CD or an album and say, okay, listen, just the album cover alone would kind of, you know, make you gravitate towards what it was.
Yeah.
You know, it just that human touch, that human element. Like I said, you may meet a stranger in the record store to say, "Hey, why don't you try this?" And if you might walk in the record store and it's something that's playing, I'm like, "Okay, who is this?" I mean, but you have, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not taking anything from technology advancing itself. When you have Shazam, when you hear certain things, but it's just totally different now. It's like everybody's looking
mm-hmm.
down instead of looking at each other talking. Everybody's looking at their phone.
Yeah.
It's just not that human exchange anymore. You know, it's just kind of weird. It's kind of weird.
It is. And I'm like, but when I see people our age bracket doing it, I'm like, what did y'all do before we had the phone? You know, I mean,
right.
like I said, the human communication stuff. Yeah, I like to talk. And I know now we're in the age now people love to text. I'll text you, it's cool. But if it's somebody you really trying, if you're trying to get to know somebody or whatever, I like verbal communication.
Listen,
and I
text
think
messages
verbal communication.
For me is text messaging for me is I'll be there at 7:30, running late.
Right.
Good morning. Hope you had a great day. You know, just those things. But as far as writing a novel and just controlling solo, communicating through text, forget about it. If you can't call me, then we don't need to be friends. We don't need to talk. And I'm not trying to change what you do. I'm just talking about for me. I don't want to. I'm not holding an entire conversation through texting. That's not happening. It's not happening. It's not happening at all. Sorry.
I love that.
Not happening.
Exactly.
Call me old school. Call me out of touch. But I'm not doing it. I'm not texting a novel. I'm not doing it.
Right. But see, the things, and then I tell people that things can get misconstrued in text messages.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear your voice and hear how you say it. When you say what you say, how did you say it? You know, what was your tone?
Right.
What was your attitude?
Right.
Some people are like, they don't get it. They don't like the text. They don't like talking on text. I'm like, what did y'all do before then? You always talk on the phone.
Right.
But that works hard.
I mean, I think technology has kind of made us all lazy. What I mean by that is, and I am a victim of this as well. You know, there used to be a time we were coming up, we had to memorize numbers. You know, we had to get somewhere, you wrote the directions down, or you had to kind of like memorize what they told you. We have just gotten lazy where we just don't, because if everything stopped right now, if these computers shut down right now, everybody would be screwed, you know? Everybody would be completely screwed. So we have kind of like...
Mm-hmm.
Stop using our brain cells for real. You know what I'm saying? Like, we really stop. We depend on, we rely on these phones and the computers heavily for a lot, if not almost everything, you know?
You're right. And
AI has taken over. Artificial intelligence has definitely taken over.
Right. Because I have tons of phone numbers in my phone. But out of all the numbers, I only know two numbers by heart, my mama and my best friend.
Right.
If your name ain't Ruth Ann, if your name ain't Ruth Ann or Eddie, I don't know it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only two numbers that I know by heart. And like I said, you had to know those numbers.
Yeah. You had to know the number, you know. And if not, you know, there was a time where, if you know, the work number was by the phone, your mother's work number was by the phone or on the refrigerator. You know, I don't know. It's just a different thing. Oh, you had a phone book. We had to look up some stuff. You know what I'm saying? You kept the phone book on you, but I don't know. If your battery goes dead, you're screwed. You know what I'm saying? If you don't have a charger, you're screwed. You know, you're screwed.
That's true. So now, where do you see the music industry going? Well, we know where that. Where do you see it going?
I don't know. I'm being honest. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going in sometimes. I don't know. I mean, that is an honest-to-God question for me right now. I don't know. But I will say this. We have some, I'll take that back, Anderson .Paak, David Lucky, Lucky Day, something, Jasmine
Lucky
Sullivan,
Day.
Fantasia.
Yeah.
You know, we have some great newcomers. We have some great, I'm talking about like solid, too. So, I mean, but it's a shame that, to me personally, Jasmine Sullivan hasn't gotten, you know, the full attention I think she deserves, you know. So that's what I mean by the gatekeepers. I don't know what that is. You know, this is a woman who can, you know, can sing somebody up on their table and dad on the come from up under. But, you know, we always have this thing now, well, you know, it takes more than talent. I understand that, too, but how do you take somebody that has talent and the person that doesn't, you profess that they're better. I just don't get that. That's just my opinion.
Right.
Because
I see her live. I love her vocals. I like her writing, too. She's a good writer. But, yeah, she should be at the top of the chart, but, yeah. And everybody knows
she's
I'm like, Lucky Day. Yeah, I love her.
Oh, yeah. There's a few people.
I also like the sister named Her. I love her. You know,
absolutely. And I forgot to leave out who I grew up listening to too. Also, and that was Prince. You know, Prince was a steady vibe in my household. You know, love Prince. All around musician.
I love.
All around great guy. And what he does. But again, to answer your question as far as the industry, it's really hard to tell. You know, I don't know. Something, I don't know. Hopefully somebody will come along and change some minds about something. Just let somebody just be without how old they are, what they look like, what they don't look like, and just gravitate toward the pure talent, you know? The pure talent.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, my God. So right here, this is one of my favorite, y'all. This is one of my absolute, absolute favorite Trini Freestyle songs. This song is, well, I'll say what it is after I play it, but the name of the song is I Do. And it's saying goodbye. And this is just, it's awesome. Here we go.
Saying goodbye to my old ways, just trying to get out of my own way. People think that song was about me saying goodbye to an old lover, but that was actually an ode to myself.
Okay.
You know, there's a couple of lines in there that talks about I gave my all with a promise for love. To be honest, it hurts too much. I had set a lot of goals, and by not, you know, reaching them, kind of beat myself up about certain things. And it wasn't a pity party. It was just about, okay, figure it out. And one of the things was always talking about completing the thought and finishing a record, putting a record out this year, putting a record out next year. And at the top of that year, maybe at the end of that year, I had talked about it wasn't going to be the same thing as far as putting together a vision board and putting 3,000 things on. I was like, just put three things up there that you're going to get done. And when I started taking those different measures and those steps and doing that and just kind of modifying and simplifying things without putting a lot of things on myself, things started falling into place. So that was pretty much saying goodbye to old ways and just acknowledging the new me. You know what I'm saying? Like, just letting some stuff go, heavy stuff that I've been carrying for a long time.
I guess, because I listen to that song almost every day, and so that's the one thing. It's my, but I actually do hear that it, because it's, as you said, you know, we use our phones for everything, so my phone is my alarm clock, and every morning at 5:30, I'm getting up, that song comes on. That's my wake up song. It's also the song I listen to right before. Okay, when I saw you at Catalina, so, but since I've seen you, I'm 100 pounds smaller. So when they was when they were taking me in for it, because I did a gastric sleeve, I planned that. I had just hung up the phone my being partner, and then I was planning to do.
Thank you. I wrote that along with Rave Valverde and Trey Lorenz. And it just so happens some guys, a guy by the name of Anthony Richardson, had reached out to me on Facebook, and they had done a compilation album with an artist in Europe a year before, and he asked me if I would be interested in doing a compilation album. I didn't say yes, and I didn't say no. At the time when he reached out to me, I was in Houston, and I was on my way back to Atlanta. So we set up a meeting. I had a meeting, talked about it, and still didn't give him a definitive answer then. I just told him, you know, I'll let you know if I want to do a compilation album. And probably about a year later, we finally got to it. And what ended up happening, this song became an accident because we had originally done another song. And the way we put it together and the way things had run successfully, he came back to me and said, well, do you want to do this one? And he came back to me. He said, would you mind doing another song? And I said, well, you know, I don't want it to be the same. I'm looking for something with a Sade feel to it, something that's bass driven, something that's different than what we did before. And you know, maybe about 15 minutes later, he sent me the song with a text message, and all the letters were in bold caps. And he said, I found it, and he found it. And from that point on, we got right to it. And I have to credit Anthony Richards and Corey Miller from R&B Moguls for, sending that track to me. And like I said, I reached out to Trey. The first thing I had was, when I heard it, I had the hook. I had the chorus. That was just something I just kept hearing. And what I did when they sent the song to me, I had it in my ears for about 3 days. And when I say in my ears for 3 days nonstop, I slept with it. It was on. I played it over and over and over. Slept with it. I woke up to it with headphones on. I mean, I just kept it in my ears. I just walked, even just walking around the house, cleaning up, I had the headphones on. Even when I got in the shower, put it on the Bluetooth. It played for 3 days consistently, like nonstop. Even when I fell asleep, it was still playing in my ears. So, and that's how when I fall in love with a track or a song, that's what I usually do before writing it. I have to really, like, get married to the track. And then, you know, I usually start, I usually start off with hooks first. I always go with the hook first before I usually write anything else, but that's usually where it starts. But again, that was inspired by just saying goodbye to the old trainer, just procrastinating, reneging, kind of letting a lot of self-doubt go. How you sum it up is just grown, not giving a damn, just grown, grown, whatever, letting stuff roll off your back like water, okay. All of it, getting rid of old friendships and, you know, entering new friendships and, you know, just getting the sludge out of the way, you know.
Right. Getting that out and bringing the new in.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now, are you planning on a new album? Because I remember a while ago you were going to do one, Life of a Leaf.
Well, that's still in the works. It just, timing is everything. You know, I know I talked about this some years ago,
mm-hmm.
but timing is everything. I'm going back revisiting some songs. You know, things have happened since then. Well, I'm not in that place anymore, in those places anymore for some of those particular songs
right.
that was on there. And actually, I actually had the whole album crafted and ready to go in and record, and I had them on a computer, and the computer was stolen. So that's one of the main reasons. So, you know, those songs are, you know, gone. So we're just trying to, you know,
come up with new. Okay.
Wait for some
yeah.
things to manifest on the other end of that, you know. But there is another single that's coming in late October or November, for sure.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
Another single. I'm anxious. Because when you did, you released the first time I heard where I'm supposed to be, I was at Target.
Mm-hmm.
I was Target my whole life, and I had downloaded it. I remember you said you were releasing that tape. I was downloaded. Went to ask them to download
mm-hmm.
That is, I'm bopping up and down the aisle with my car in Target. What inspired that?
As I mentioned to you earlier about, you know, once I started releasing things and you know, just kind of like, I guess, just grown, like the things that used to hold you back before, it's
mm-hmm.
okay, you know, and if you fall, and if there's some setbacks, as long as you're working towards them, everything is in its right place. Everything happens for a reason. Everything. I don't care what it is. We're on this phone today for whatever reason. We're supposed to be on this phone. We're right where we're supposed to be right now. You know what I'm saying? Divine
right.
order right now. So that's just how I look
True
at it in life. I mean, it's still a continuation of a do, just kind of like releasing stuff and just celebrating where I was. You know what I'm saying? Even the good and the bad, and just happy to be here. You know what I'm saying? Whatever life was bringing at that point, that's where I was supposed to be. That's where I was supposed to be. And it's just sometimes we have a tendency to say, well, I'm not going to do this until I get to. What if you never get to that? So, like, mm-hmm. you know, be thankful for where you are right now, what you have, and work with it, and eventually you'll get there. You know what I'm saying? But for the moment, just enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? And just enjoy
now,
the moment.
Now, you're preaching to me.
Whatever it is.
Now, you're preaching to me.
You know?
Because I have a habit of beating myself up sometimes. Like, if I don't reach a certain goal or I didn't do this or do that. And I feel like sometimes I'm like, I'm too old. And so... I
have friends that tell me,
like, now you
always
supposed to be right now. So that gives
you
my entire life.
Right. I appreciate that. Thank you.
That's good.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I'll be 50 in October. So, and I'm not ashamed of it. You know, some people are like, you know, don't tell your age. Because to me personally, every year on this earth is a blessing. Every day on this earth, every year that we're on this earth to be here is a blessing. So I'm never going to be one of those that say, well, I don't want nobody to know my age. It is what it is. For me, it is. I can't speak for nobody else. But, again, you got some people who we feel like should have been here who's not here. You know what I'm saying? So celebrate
mm-hmm.
life. You know, you can't beat yourself up too much about mishaps and what happened in the past and, I mean, because it'll overwhelm you. And what I've learned is, when it consumes you, you end up missing the moment. You know, whatever that is that you're trying to get to, just live in the moment and do what you have to do to get there.
I like that. Just live in the moment, do what you got to do. I like that.
Right.
I like that. So now one thing I love is you continue to do your own thing and then you continue to do background. But yeah, some people are like, I'm not doing no background vocals. I'm too good at that. You do. But you are.
Listen, it's all relatable.
Okay.
Listen, it's all relatable. I once had a singer, actually, where I was doing a major tour with a couple of acts on, and I was doing background vocals. And she asked me, she said, what are you doing back there? I said, working. It's all relatable. It's all related.
Right.
As long as I'm connected to the music and it's something that I like, I choose it, I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with it. I'm okay. And I am selective
right.
of what I choose and what I do and what I don't want to do. But, I mean, as long as I'm able to be connected to the music and stuff that feeds me, I'm speaking when I say feed me, I mean my soul, you know,
mm-hmm.
things that I like doing. It's okay. It's all relatable. It's all relatable. They got it, though.
And I love the attitude. I wish more singers had that attitude. That's it. And I love how you said you pick and choose. You don't just take any old thing. Because so-and-so needs you now. You pick and you choose. That's good.
Right.
Because you can't.
Right.
Because you can't put everything, like you said, fusion. So you can't put everything in your spirit and your soul. You just can't.
Right. Right. However, those who do, and let's be real, very clear. I talk to a friend, Kevin Bryan, about this all the time. You know, as long as you're doing what makes you happy, you're doing what you're supposed
mm-hmm.
to be doing. You don't have room to worry about what everybody else is doing. You know, I'm definitely not one of those who's a blocker where I'm saying, oh, well, you know, so-and-so. I'm not a hater. I've never been a blocker. I don't believe in blocking people from
right.
their blessings where they can work and eat. I don't do that, you know. And another thing I don't do either, I've never been one of those who sits back and celebrates people's demise. That's not my thing. And I don't too much care to be around people who do that either. I don't really do that. I mean, like, and what I mean by that is social media has become poison for a lot of people. A lot of people, you know, get a high off of seeing other people fail and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Seeing it
right.
go viral, I'm just not one of those type of people. I don't believe it. You'll never see me reposting Lauryn Hill goes to prison over, you know, not paying her taxes and stuff. I mean, my thing is always this. If it was your situation, would you want yourself to be out there? Would you want your shit out there like that? I don't get down like that. I just don't believe in, like I said, celebrating somebody else's demise or their faults or their setbacks. That's
mm-hmm.
not my thing. I'm not into that. You'll never catch that on my page. That's not
that.
What I do. Sorry.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah, I, you know, being, you know, we social media friends, I only see you uplift. Everything you put up there is positive
oh, yeah.
for yourself. I
mm-hmm.
love that. So now you have.
I know what.
Have you now? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was saying I know what it's like to lose. I know what it's like to. I know what it's like to be in the dark. What I mean by in the dark, you know, trying to find your way out from depression. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to. Because
mm-hmm.
this industry is hard. Let's be real clear about this. When it's up, it's up. When it's down, it's down. This is not a pity party. I think. Anybody who's been in it can attest to it. There's times when we work. There's times when we don't work. There's times when there's plenty of work.
Mm-hmm.
There's times when it's slow work, and there's times when it's no work, you know? So, I mean, but you have to kind of keep yourself in it to keep reinventing yourself. But I don't feel like it's enough, to me, camaraderie and paying it forward. That's just my opinion. I don't feel like it's enough of it today. Because I don't know. I just don't believe. Yeah, I don't know. Kind of weird. Mm.
Yeah, I agree.
Kinda
and
weird.
Like with social media, with social media, do you think it's that we become hard-hearted, or we were always like this, but yet social media just brings it to the forefront?
I believe that social media probably brought it to the forefront. I feel like
mm-hmm.
it probably brought it to the forefront. You had a lot of people who were, you know, for some people it's their lives. You know what I'm saying? Some people that's on it every single day that's putting out the dirt and the trash. And I don't know. I mean, where do you have the time to be compassionate? I don't know. Some people thrive
right.
out of that. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's definitely not my thing. I don't care for it at all. Or anybody that does it. I'm not with that.
Now, with that, I was going to ask you. Now, are you into reality TV at all?
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Are you into reality TV at all?
No, not at all. Nope.
Okay.
No.
I'm
only saying that. Here's the reason why. I mean, when there was a time I watched Love and Hip Hop maybe when it first started. I watched Housewives when it first started, but I think the dissension. Especially among black women, you know, is at an all-time high, and I'm just not. I'm not one to participate in that. That's not my thing. I don't like it. I don't care for it.
Okay. Okay. Then that answers my question. I was going to ask if you were approached to do a.
But I'm not knocking nobody. That's how you got to feed your children. If that's how you
right.
feed your family, I'm not knocking nobody. I just don't want to sit on television. I just don't want to see. My people on television fighting each other. I mean, how many times can we get up and argue and throw a drink in somebody's face and say that she said this and she said that? I mean, how long is that going to play out? You know, I'm just tired of it. I don't care for it. Again, I'm not knocking anybody that does. It's just not my thing. It's not Trina's thing. And nobody
yeah.
probably cares about it. That's fine, too.
Because I asked because when they had that show, R&B Divas, I loved it, but it turned into what it was supposed to be. went to a totally different direction.
Right. I didn't get to tune in for. I watched the first season with Kelly Price and I think it was Dawn and Monifa and a few others. But after that, I didn't tune in anymore. After that season, just to see that, I thought that was pretty. That was pretty hard. You know, hard to watch. You know,
it's pretty rough.
And don't get me wrong. You know, women, we have arguments and stuff. We have disagreements. You know, some of us don't like each other, and that's fine. But to let it play out. For the world to see and for it to, you know, go to a level where it starts to seep into our children, where our children are, you know, watching this and they thinking that fighting and slapping somebody and banging somebody's head up against the concrete is a resolve. And as a result of that, you know, you got kids that are dying from watching people, watching grown folks argue and go back and forth and fight on TV. So I'm just not, I'm just not interested at all. I'm not interested in that version of it.
Sure. That's true. And I kind of something that they use as a way to catapult their second career. But as far as I've seen, the only person that has benefited from reality TV as far as music is Cardi B. I haven't seen nobody else benefit that I can think of.
Well, let me just say this. Before the Housewives of Atlanta was going on, I've been in Atlanta for almost 30 years. You know, before that was the Housewives of Atlanta, I'm going to tell you who the real Housewives of Atlanta is, are, and was, and still is. Listen, I had Trey Lorenz cracking up about this the other day. I said, you want to know the truth? I said, shit, Candy and Tiny, they've been rolling big body Benzes down on National Highway a long time ago. That's a street here in Atlanta. I said, they were doing that in the early 90s. I mean, they've been clocking dollars. I'm talking about real money, not like sitting around arguing with folks and TV cameras and stuff. Those girls been hustling. You know what I'm saying? Like they've been, if you want to use the word boss, they were bossing a long time ago. A long time ago. Without the cameras, lights, and action. A long time ago. Outside of the industry, too. Tiny was doing a travel. She had a travel agency. You know, Candy was always hustling, you know, with the songwriting and stuff. But I'm saying, you want to talk about making money and being an entrepreneur and being businesswomen, black businesswomen? They were doing that a long time ago before it was popular, before it became a TV thing. Been doing it.
I love that. I love it. Candy is the boss. When I say Atlanta, I love it. Candy. And then she the one with the paper. That's it right.
Listen, they've both been doing it for a long time. You want to talk about Real Housewives of Atlanta? They've been rolling the big body Benzes down on National Highway, period. For years before this was popular. Years. So, hey. But again, let's be clear. I don't knock nobody how they eat. I'm not knocking nobody how they feed their family. I'm just telling you there's some things that just hurt my soul to watch, to see us do to each other. I just can't do it. And I understand it's entertainment, but at the end of the day, when it starts to affect our children and they're watching that and they take those arguments and they take it to school, and don't get me wrong, used to be a time, you know, we were coming up. You know, we would fight at the end of the school year. Somebody didn't like you all school year long. You fight at the end of the school year. It was over. When you came back the next year, you were best friends. So it's just a different time right now. You know? It's a different time.
And we fought with our hands. We didn't pull out no guns or no weapons.
Right.
And like you said, we done made up. By the time the summer comes, we done made up. Like you said, we come back through. We best friends. And I forgot all that.
But it's a different time now. But again, I just want to make it clear that I am not knocking anybody how they eat and feed their family. If it's respectable and you ain't sitting here robbing somebody, beating somebody over the head, I'm okay with it. But I just don't care for reality TV just to see the dissension, especially amongst us. I just can't do it. I don't want to do it.
I am a reality TV doctor from talk show, but it's I'll get to some shows and I get back into it the next season. Some things I like, I don't like the fighting stuff, but I like to watch something. Little does me know.
Right.
So that's good. You know what? So that's why, because normally in the beginning of the show, I do a thing called Tea with Kyrie, and we'll talk about entertainment, gossip, reality TV and stuff. But you're gonna get to it though. That's why we're going to go straight into it. We're going to go straight into the next thing. And I can't on a reality show, but I thought I'd ask, you know, some people say, I would use it to get here, get there, but I said to see you on the reality show.
I was actually asked. I was asked to do it, and I said no. I said I was actually asked to be on R&B Divas. Asked for Angie Stone, who's a sweetheart, reached out to me and asked me if I wanted to come on to be a guest. And I just told Angie, I said, Angie, you know, I'm a private person. I said, I'm not knocking anybody how they do, and I just really appreciate it. Because, you know, Angie was like, I feel like people should know you more. And Angie has been a true supporter of what I do, and I appreciate Angie Stone so much. And I think Angie learned, too, you know, just from what I heard, because she was disappointed the way she was displayed, and we talked about it, the way they displayed her character. We talked about it. I said, well, if it's any comfort to you, Angie, I haven't even seen an episode of it. And nothing changes the way I feel about you as far as, you know, the support and, you know, the lady that you are, the lady that I know that you are, the talent that you have, nothing changes. That's why, you know, she was not happy how it turned out in the end. I'm glad I didn't do it. Not that I had planned on doing it anyway, but I just appreciate the gesture that she put toward it. But I just, I wasn't interested
in it. Well, actually, I don't think no one, because I remember the show very well. I don't think anyone looked at Angie in a different light. Angie came off as, Angie was like a peacemaker between two of the ones that was having that consistent fight. So Angie was like a peacemaker. So I'm thinking about the Angie that way.
Yeah.
She was good. She was a peacemaker.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
And from what I've known of Angie, Angie has always been on the positive thing. We haven't had a chance to spend a lot of time together, but Angie has always shown me a great amount of love, and I really appreciate that. I really do.
That's good, yeah. She's another, she's like, I would call a legend, and I'm like, a lot of people that claim they know hip-hop, I'm like, yeah, I'm hip-hop, y'all would know Angie Stone is really a hip-hop legend. She's a sequent.
Right, she is. She is.
Right, she is. I agree. She is. I agree. Yeah, I agree. That's Angie B. That's Angie B. Right, she was one of the first female rappers I had to really do it and really make noise with it. Right, and she's been doing it for a long time. You know what I'm saying, she deserves her props. She does, exactly, she does. And I love her, and I love her music because she gets real soul music, you know. I love her. I love it. So now you are touring or are you just doing spot dates?
I have some spot dates coming up. I have a show coming up in D.C.
On the 25th
July
of July.
July 25th. It's at City Winery. And currently I'm touring with Rahsaan Patterson as well. We have some dates coming up. And I kind of like the I like the situation where I can kind of like flip-flop and not be up front all the time. I mean, to some people that's probably weird, but I like the fact sometimes that I don't have to carry the load. I'm not being lazy or anything like that. I'm just being honest. I like that there are options on the table. I like that. You know, I do.
Yeah, that's cool.
And also, I'm
going to
keep it real with you. I'm going to keep it 100 with you, too. When I'm not gigging, when I am not gigging, when I come home, I drive for Lyft, and I actually like that, too. You know what I'm saying? I drive part-time for Lyft when I'm not gigging, you know. And that's what I'm actually sitting here on the side of the road waiting to do because I have to go and, you know, pick up my mom, you know, from the airport with you. But I do that also.
Now, so has anybody ever recognized you getting the car?
No.
Oh. Mm-mm. Nope. I will trip out. I get my Lyft. And I'd be tripping. I'm like, what? I would trip out. Like, oh, my God.
Nope. Nobody has. Nope. 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 They have not. They have not. No, they have not. I mean, I wouldn't.
Make your money.
Yes. I'm learning to stay ahead of the curve now. So that's what I like to do.
Because in L.A., you got to have 16 hustles. I always tell people that.
It's not exempt in Atlanta. You got to have hustle here too. It don't stop in LA. It's here too. It's worldwide.
Yeah, it's serious out here.
It's worldwide. Yes, it
is.
My friend.
It is. Thank you so much for being with me today. I know you got to get mama, but thank you so much.
Yes, I do.
Really appreciate you. I really appreciate you taking your time out to come and, you know, talk. But since you did, you are friends with the show. Anytime you want to come back, please come back. I want
thank
to bring you back. When you had your you said October, November, when you released your song, I would love to have you back then for your song. And we can discuss
that.
That
is the best. That you have my word. That's the best. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to coming back to talk to you about the single, the new single.
With Kyrie, I'm looking forward to having you back. Thank you so much. And you all, well, thank you all for tuning in and listening. And if you're in the D.C. area, get your tickets for City Winery on July 25th. Trina Broussard will be there. And she'll be with Rasan Patterson. And I know in Vegas, July 5th.
Yes, in Detroit, on the 3rd of July in Detroit at Aretha Franklin's Amphitheater. We're doing Vegas on the 5th of July. And then we have some more dates coming up. I want to say in August and September. We're going to Africa in September. Looking forward to that.
Ooh,
we're doing the Cancun Soul Fest in October. And we're doing the Super Jazz Cruise in January. And a few other things in between. So we're keeping it moving. And we get a chance to pick up Rasan Patterson's record also. It's great. Listeners. Plug.
Listen, I bumped that. That is everything. I bumped that.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't put my song on there. What's the name of the song? Forever My Darling.
Forever My Darling. Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. With the OJ's.
Yeah.
With the OJ's thing on there. Okay, gotcha. Oh, yeah.
I thought that was going to be on the album. But the album's great. Fantastic. Great body work.
It is.
But you all, you heard Trina mention the date. You can go ahead. So, where can they find you on social media?
You can find me on Trina Broussard on Instagram, just my first and last name, Trina Broussard. You can find me on Facebook, just Trina Broussard. And you can find me on Twitter, Trina Broussard. Now, I have to be honest. I don't do Twitter world too often. I have to get over there and talk a little bit more. But I'm not in Twitter land as much as I should be. So I promise you, I will get over there soon.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I heard it is. Facebook and IG, she is there all the time. Speaking of Facebook, you still got me in limbo because prior to my original page, I hadn't changed pages to make a brand new page. Other people thought it was spam. I'm like, no, that's really me. I had to make a whole other page.
Okay, well, then I need to get over to Facebook because what I don't do often, I just kind of peek my head in there a little bit and might throw something up on it, but I'm not on Facebook as often as I used to be, so I have to kind of, like, revisit that, too. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get better. I'm working on it.
You're busy. You out there in the world doing what you do.
Listen, I'm picking up and dropping off folks. I'm singing. I'm flying. I'm taking trains and planes, picking up and dropping off people. It's a lot going on today in these days. But it's all good though. I am, and this is a serious to end this. I'm very grateful for everything. I'm grateful for every single thing, everything, and that's the truth.
That's good. I'm too grateful. That's great. So again, thank you so much for being here, and you all, thank you so much for listening and tuning in. And next Sunday, I'll be back with another fantastic guest. And Ms. Broussard, you take it easy and enjoy the rest of you. Have a great week.
Same to you. Thank you so much. Peace and blessings to you.
You too. All right, everyone. Good night. Peace out.
Night. Bye.
Good night.